God's grace and peace be with you. You have to be ready because you just never know. So we are here back at the beginning. It's the first Sunday in Advent. This is the first Sunday of the liturgical year. So we start a new year. It's also back at the beginning because this is the first Sunday of our three-year lectionary cycle. So we're really way back at the beginning here. And I realized as I was reflecting on all of these texts about being ready and about how Christ comes up to us in unexpected ways that a lot of times we don't really remember what this liturgical season is about. And so I thought I would take some time again this morning to refresh us, because it is true that the liturgical season, the church calendar, the flow of the seasons and the colors from one end to the other, isn't just a marking of what holidays happen when in the church, but it is designed to be a story. A narrative, a word that engages us and picks us up and carries us along this path of discipleship. Beloved, if we want to be ready, we need to know where we are in the story. And this story cycles around, as well in many ways our lives do. And there is a plan and a purpose to this. And that plan and the purpose in the liturgical year, in the calendar of seasons, is to help us prepare for Christ to be in our lives. And each season will help us because each season will focus on a particular aspect of our discipleship, a particular aspect of our preparation, so that we don't get stuck in just one facet of this life of discipleship. So we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. This is God's proclamation to us, this liturgical calendar, of what it means to walk with Jesus. And it helps us and supports us by giving us a plan and a path to follow. So Advent is the beginning. It's always strange because it's coming right at the end of the year. But Advent is always the beginning. And you know that word Advent means something is coming. The color of the season is blue. It is a season of hope. In the past, it's also been a season of repentance in preparation for Christ's coming. But that has shifted a little bit because now Advent reminds us that we need to get ready. We need to be ready, not so much just for Christmas, but also for the culmination of all of God's purpose for us. All of God's purpose for us. And so these lessons have this mix between sort of pointing toward Christmas, but also pointing toward the second coming of Christ, reminding us that everything isn't done yet. And we are called to be perpetually ready for Jesus to break in. Not ready for Christmas, not ready for the holidays, but ready for Jesus to interrupt your life. And he's going to do it. He's going to interrupt your life. Sometimes he interrupts our lives and we don't even see it. We don't even notice it because we're not thinking. We're not ready. We're not expecting. So this is the season where we come again to practice expectation, to practice expecting Jesus to break into our lives, to expect God to come in and bring us hope and salvation in the midst of a lot of the struggles that we face every day. And we do that in preparation and looking toward the promise that comes to us at Christmas. Of course, we know that's coming soon. 4 weeks of preparation, and then we celebrate God's word and revelation fulfilled for us in the birth of Jesus. Christmas is that time of recognizing that God has physically broken into this world with salvation, that it has physically come to us in a promise that will save not only us, but the whole world. And so that season of Christmas is that time to rejoice, to be so grateful that God has come to us, not as a God of judgment, but as a God of grace and love and humbleness and smallness. In fact, God comes in ways that we don't always expect, so that we won't be so scared we turn tail and run the other way. I mean, think about it. Had God come in the fullness of God's might and power, I'd be out the back door, terrified at what was confronting me. But God comes in Jesus so that we can be approached by this incredible love and mercy. This Christmas season, the color is white. It always denotes a season of festival, a season of rejoicing. And so that season of Christmas marks that next step of recognizing that what we've been hoping for and waiting for has come to fulfillment. And after that season of Christmas, then comes the season of Epiphany, which is a season of revelation. And it is a season that reminds us that that hope and that expectation isn't just fulfilled for us, but it is fulfilled for the whole world. And it is fulfilled in ways we didn't expect to find it. It's bigger than we thought. That's the season of Epiphany. Recognizing that God has revealed hope to us, and it's bigger than we thought. It travels, it spreads, it grows. And if we're stuck at Christmas, if we don't get up from that manger and start traveling with the spread of that revelation, we are not going to understand how great what the thing that God has done for us is. Epiphany calls us then to take this incredible gift that has come to us in Jesus and to see that it goes out. It leads us out. But it leads us out again in a way that we didn't expect. Because the next season is the season of Lent. Probably one of the better known seasons of the church year, along with Christmas and Easter. People tend to know about Lent. That's when you give up something and sacrifice yourself and feel really bad. But that's not what it's for. It is a season of repentance. Because this revelation of God's mercy and love that comes to us and that starts spreading out into the world, touching every aspect of our lives, calls us into a brutal honesty about ourselves. A brutal honesty about who we are and what things we truly do hang on to. And how little we understand. Lent isn't simply a time to feel bad. Lent is God's permission and call to us to lay down the facade and be honest about our need. Our need. In Advent, we are being honest about our hope. But in Lent, we're being honest about our brokenness, our pain, our struggle, our sin. Not because God wants us to feel bad. It's because it's only when we see the truth of ourselves that we can even begin to understand what God does for us. In the culmination of that Lenten season. Lent is, of course, the color for Lent is purple. And that's not really a color that just means repentance. It's actually the color of royalty. And it sends us this message that something important is coming. In the midst of this honest reflection, Lent, of course, takes us. It culminates in this, in the Triduum, the great 3 days, Maundy, Thursday, the commandment of Jesus given to us to love one another as he's loved us, and the gift of the Lord's Supper that comes to us. Good Friday, oddly named because Jesus dies, tortured as a political prisoner, tortured to death. And then Easter, because God raises Jesus from death as a sign to us that our deaths will not be the final word for us, but that we shall have that new life that we've been hoping for since Advent. It has come to us, and it will not be denied by any powers or any forces on this earth, and we shall live. The color is white. Because it's a season of celebration and hope. And Easter carries us with about 6 weeks of understanding what that revelation means, that the risen Christ is going to keep coming to us. And sometimes the risen Christ will come to us and we won't even recognize him. But it does not stop him from coming. And so we have life in him that no powers of this earth can gainsay. Season then rolls into that longest season of the church year, the one that goes for about half of it, where we're just looking at green all the time. And that is the season of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit upon the people of God, and the sending of the people of God out into the world with this knowledge. See, we have been remembering and reflecting on all the truths that God wants us to remember. And it all goes together. You can't only have hope and expectation. You can't only do brutal self-assessment without hope and expectation. You can't stick in one season all the time. It's a story that flows. And it flows into Pentecost. And Pentecost is this season where we learn what it means to follow this risen Christ that we've been waiting for. And it's complicated. It's a complicated journey. Sometimes it is filled with miraculous restoration of life. And sometimes it's marked with suffering and confusion and doubt. Holy cow. If the Holy Spirit's been poured out on you, how can you still struggle with doubt? But the disciples do, and beloved, so do we. The discipleship journey is marked by all these things. But in the narrative of this church year, in the narrative of this liturgical calendar, over the course of the year, this is going to be repeated, this theme of how it goes. So that we will remember. Now, every Sunday in the church year has a set of lessons that are appointed to tell this story. I don't know if you've noticed that the lessons repeat every 3 years. Has anybody caught on to that? The lectors kind of know about that. Yeah, a lot of people, they repeat every 3 years. And that's because the texts have been chosen to remind us of this path. To remind us of this journey that we are on. And it's hard to follow this story sometimes when we're only here now and then. It's like coming into a reading group every, you know, fifth week and trying to figure out where you are in the story of the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe when you haven't been there for several weeks. It can get a little confusing and hard to follow this thread. But knowing this story, living in this story, this is what helps us be ready. We do this on a 3-year cycle. The first year, year A, that's what we just started today, we read primarily the Gospel of Matthew with some readings from John thrown in. Next year, we will read the Gospel of Mark with some readings from John thrown in. And the year after that, we will read the Gospel of Luke with some readings from John thrown in. Because each of the Gospels has a little different take on the story. And we need them all. Being prepared all the time, all year long, being alert is really hard. If you've ever been in one of those places of expectation where you're just on tenterhooks for days and weeks at a time, you know how hard it is. And so we break it down so that we can focus on one thing at a time and remember our journey. Because as we move through this year, this is the thing that is going to remind us. It's going to be the thing that helps us remember to be ready. It's the thing that helps us stay awake. Because, beloved, your story is in this story. The meaning of your life is within this narrative. Your name is found in those waters. And the meaning of your baptism is the year-long story that we hear beginning today of what we hope for and what God has done for us. And it's a story that we've never come to the end of, and we've never learned everything there is to know about it. So I invite you to join again, recommit, dig in this year into this story of life in Jesus. That's going to help you every day be ready for when Jesus comes to find you. Thanks be to God.